In the fall of 2025, the Enduring Word Board visited Israel. Over 10 days, they visited numerous locations, their primary goal being for Pastor David Guzik to speak at the very locations where events described in the Bible took place. The other three members of the Enduring Word Board took turns at a few locations, adding their insights. They are all pastors as well: Chuck Musselwhite, Miles DeBenedictis, and Lance Ralston. After arriving at the Ben-Gurion Airport and collecting our luggage, we picked up our rental car and headed toward Tel Aviv and our hotel in the coastal city of Jaffa, the modern name of the ancient port of Joppa. Our hotel was located a short distance from the famous clock tower, a main landmark of Jaffa that stands at the gateway to the city from Tel Aviv, which borders Jaffa on the north. Jaffa, known in Hebrew as Yafo, is one of the world's oldest continuously inhabited port cities. Perched on a rocky promontory jutting into the Mediterranean Sea, Joppa witnessed over 4 millennia of human history, serving as a crucial gateway between the sea and the land of Israel. Today, Joppa forms the southern part of the Tel Aviv-Jaffa metropolitan area, but its ancient stones and archaeological remains tell stories that stretch back to the dawn of recorded history.
Some circles today, there is a lot of talk about Israel and the Jews. Politically, culturally, socially, ethnically. I see some folks out there trying to argue that the Jewish people that we know from the Bible, they're extinct. Well, I don't believe any of that. But what I think one thing is undeniable and really glorious is that when you come here to Israel, you see something special. You see the land. So right here, I'm in Joppa. In front of me are old buildings, not biblical times, but old buildings. Behind me is the Mediterranean Sea and a harbor that in some form or another has existed from Bible times. So when it says in Jonah chapter 1 that Jonah went to Joppa and left from there for Tarshish, it was from here. When it says in Acts chapter 10 that Peter was staying at the home of Simon the Tanner at Joppa, and that's where he had this tremendous dream where God spoke to him about bringing Gentiles into this great new covenant work that God had already done among the Jewish people and now was demonstrably bringing the Gentiles in. That was something glorious. And then here was where the Roman centurion Cornelius brought himself and a delegation of people to come and hear the word of God from Peter, to put their trust in Christ, to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that wonderful sort of initial first drawing of the Gentiles in officially into God's family, into the new covenant. Now, folks, we all love novels. We all love fiction. You know, we have our favorite fiction writers. We love a good story. We see them in movies. We see them in video series. We read them in books. Great. We understand all that. But you know, here's the thing. The Bible is not only a tremendous story, it's true. And it happened at real places, among real people, and it affects us in a real way today. So I guess what I just want to say is, when the Bible says things happened at Joppa, like Jonah chapter 1, like Acts chapter 10, folks, it's right here. And that makes this place special. You know, whatever your political or cultural, social views about Israel and the Jewish people, you can't deny that there's something very special about coming to, seeing, and experiences the very place where these great things in the Bible happen. That's why we're here, and that's why if you ever have the opportunity, I know that not everybody does, you should come here to Israel and see these things that you've been reading about in God's book. You should see them firsthand. It will remind you that not only are the places real, but more importantly, the God who gave us the story is real. And we can have a real relationship with him in and through the person of Jesus Christ.
Hello, the wave.
Okay, so here we are. We're standing by the Mediterranean seacoast in Joppa. And it's true whenever I go to the seaside, to the ocean, but it's especially true when I come here in Israel and see it. It reminds me of what the Bible has to say about the great seas. Now, you and I, we in the Western world, man, we generally love the sea. I love to stand up paddle. I love to surf. I love to go sailing. I love being out in the ocean. We love to have holiday by the sea. But in the mind of the ancient Near East, the ancient Israelite, if you want to say that, it wasn't that way. No, instead, back then, they thought of the sea as being something evil and dark and unpredictable and chaotic. It was something to be feared, not something to be celebrated. You didn't think of taking holiday at the sea. That's why in the scriptures, you have God asserting his dominion over the sea again and again. Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. That's the power of our God. Not only with the power to still the Mediterranean Sea, which is impressive, and here people are using it for surfing, but they wouldn't have done that in the ancient Near East, I'll tell you that. But not only the Mediterranean Sea, but the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, God rules over the mighty seas. And here in Isaiah chapter 57, it says this about the sea. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, when its whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Constant agitation, no rest, endless activity. The psalmist and Isaiah look at that as pictures of what it's like to be wicked and under God's disfavor, to be in that position. All right, one more verse I'm going to read to you right here in Psalm 72, verse 8. It says this. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Friends, God's dominion is all over the earth. I love coming here to Israel, but I'll be honest, God's not any more present here in Israel than it is wherever it is you live or I live. But there's something special about being here in the land and seeing the scriptures, so to speak, come to life. In Acts chapter 10, it says that Peter was staying at the home of a man named Simon the Tanner here in the city of Joppa. Joppa, ancient Joppa, is right behind me. And just on the other side of that hill behind me is supposedly a place, it says it over the doorway, Simon the Tanner's house. I don't think that was it, and let me tell you why. It's because even in the ancient world, the location of that place that declares itself now to be Simon the Tanner's house would have been way too much inside the city. You see, a tanner in the ancient world dealt with dead bodies and that kind of thing. Bodies, I mean carcasses of animals. And would have been generally considered unclean by a more strictly observant Jewish population at that time. Therefore, the house of Simon the Tanner was probably on the very outskirts of the city, not more towards the middle as this place would have been, if not outside the city at all. But it was there that Peter stayed. It was there that he received the vision of the great sheet lowered before him, arise, kill and eat. It was there that God told him to no longer regard Gentiles as being unclean to come into the kingdom and that they could come to Jesus directly. They did not have to go through the institution of Judaism. All happened right here at Joppa, somewhere behind me. I am here at the beach in Joppa, that ancient Jewish city here on the seacoast. You see behind me a bunch of people surfing. It's a beautiful, warm day out in the Mediterranean. A lot of them don't have wetsuits. They're just out there doing their thing, surfing, as we think, man, it's a wonderful thing to do. We think of the beach as a place of holiday and fun and celebration, but it wasn't like that in biblical times. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 57, this is what it says. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. In the thinking of the ancient Israelite, the sea was a place of chaos, unpredictability, wickedness, just difficulty. The sea meant trouble. They liked to live inland where it seemed safe. So a difference in the way of thinking. To understand the Bible, we got to understand some of the ways they thought in the ancient Near East, and then you can go ahead and enjoy the beach today. Hey, I'm here in front of this clock tower at the entrance of the old city of Joppa. And being here reminds me of something. It reminds me of having to do with the apostle Peter. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gave Peter what some people call the keys to the kingdom. And that's something that's really reflected in Roman Catholic theology a lot. But I want to tell you how it makes sense to me biblically. Was that Peter very demonstrably opened up, using those keys to the kingdom, he opened up the way of the new covenant to first the Jewish people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. He did it for the Samaritans, those kind of half Jews, half Gentiles, in Acts chapter 8. And then gloriously here in Joppa in Acts chapter 10, he did it opening up the door of the kingdom, the entrance to the new covenant, to the Gentiles when he preached to Cornelius and his household. And in each one of those situations, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit fell on those people, demonstrating that they were truly part of the new covenant and that Peter had used the keys to open up the kingdom to them. I don't really think the keys of the kingdom have much application beyond that. You're not going to answer to St. Peter when you get to the gates of heaven. He doesn't hold those keys then, but he did open up the doors for Jews, for Samaritans, and Gentiles. I hope it's for you that he's opened up the door to God's kingdom.